order of service, we all have an outline. Everybody take out your outline. Amen. And the title this day for our service is what? Make us one. Now this side of the sanctuary is alive over here. So let's try that again. What's our title for today? Make us one. That's our prayer. Amen. That was Jesus' prayer for us. For Jesus knew that the church could never make the impact on the world that Jesus desired for it to make unless the world saw in that church a oneness, a unity. So today, saints, let's see what Jesus prayed for you and for me on that night before the cross. But first, let's join our hearts in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you today. And we ask that even as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word, you would make us one. You would make us one. You would make us one. That the world may know that you're God's son. You're the savior of the world. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And that every knee one day shall bow before you. Make us one, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take a moment with me and let us look at this video clip together.
Imagine a church where every member is... Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Come here. Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Hallelujah, saints. It's not about a me church. Amen. Or it's about us. It's about me. It's about you. What we want. Our way is not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. And beyond his death, Jesus expected a dynamic and growing church that would last throughout the ages. Therefore, as we see in our text for this Lord's Day, Jesus prays for the unity of the church. Now, continuing on from Pastor Rick's message last Sunday, don't give up, where we were looking at Peter and the disciples and what they were doing, denying Christ and chopping off ears and all of these things. Well, on the last night before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus began to do what he now does eternally. A few hours before his arrest, Jesus prayed for his own disciples. He interceded for us. Look with me, saints, at this passage in John chapter 17. John 17 is a prayer of three sections. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for himself. In verses 6 through 19, he prays for that immediate group of 11 disciples that were gathered around him. Then in verses 20 through 26, he prays for all believers yet to come. Jesus prays for unity. Well, unity among God's people. How many know that unity is a hard thing to come by? Unity, it ain't easy. It ain't easy at home. It ain't easy at church. It ain't easy. Amen. Eugene Peterson, and he's the translator of the Message version of the Bible. He observes, the church is composed of equal parts of mystery and of mess. And he says, God is the mystery and we are the mess. Amen. And we are a mess. Amen. So we look at our Old Testament text for today, Psalm 33, and it speaks of the blessing of the unity of God's people. Verse 1 reads, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Then in verses 2 and 3, it reads, I'm going on to read about two poetic images, oil and dew. Now we look at oil, and scripture tells us that oil is a symbol of God's presence. It's a symbol of the Spirit. And oil was used when individuals were set apart for service. It was used for healing. And dew is a symbol of blessing. Dew is a blessing. So the main idea of dew, it expresses the idea of divine refreshment, divine nourishment, God's gift of life and energy. Now, we experience dew on the grass mostly in the fall. We'll go out in the morning and we'll see dew on the lawn, and it's really nourishing the lawn. And right now, we could actually use some dew, couldn't we, on our lawn out there. The sun has did a job on it, so we could use that dew on our lawn today. But in verse 3, we see the linking of Mount Hermon, which was about 100 miles away. It indicates that God gives the gift of life, the gift of nourishment, the gift of energy, the gift of fruitfulness to the people of God when they are in fellowship. So saints, what dew and oil have in common is they both flow down. So it flowed down from Mount Hermon to Mount Zion and on to God's people. And David focuses on the source and direction of these blessings. David tells us they come down from above. They come from God upon God's people. Unity. Everybody say unity. Unity is a gift of God. It's a gift of grace. Unity is like the refreshing dew. Well, saints, when we live in harmony together as God's people, we get a foretaste of eternal life. We are family. Now, right now, I want you to look around, those who are on your side, in front of you, behind you. I want you to look at the people around you now. Just take a good look at them. Amen. Well, we see people who are going to spend all eternity with us. Hallelujah. Those of us that know Jesus Christ, we're going to be together for a long time. Amen. So why not get to know each other better and love each other better? Amen. Right now. I mean, we could have a little bit of heaven right here on earth if we started right now uniting with our sisters and our brothers in Jesus Christ in every way that we can. Hallelujah. Saints, so Christ's love must be within the circle of our love, because Christ is our only hope for salvation. Christ is our only hope for forgiveness. Christ is our only hope for winning the lost. Christ is our only hope for unity. Christ is our unity. So as we bow to Jesus and allow him to come in and start tuning us up, so then we'll be in tune and in harmony with one another. Amen. How many have ever been to the state of California? It's a beautiful state. Well, if you were there, most likely you saw some of those huge redwood trees they have, really tall, beautiful trees. Well, I learned some interesting things about those trees. The huge redwood trees in California are the largest living things on earth, and they are the tallest trees in the world, they say. Some of them are 300 feet high and more than 2,500 years old. Now, you would think that these trees who are so large would have a tremendous root system that would go way deep down in the earth, but that's not what's the case. They are really short-rooted, but the key to it is they intertwine their roots together. They interlock their roots underneath. They are tied in with each other under the earth. So even though their roots aren't long, their roots are intertwined. Thus, when storms come, when the winds blow, those redwoods continue to stand tall. Nothing knocks them down. With an interlocking root system, They support and sustain each other. They need one another to survive. And guess what, saints? So do we. We need one another to survive. Would you turn to your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, I need you to survive. I need you to survive. Hallelujah. God has given us God's church, which is the body of Christ on earth. And when one is baptized into Christ, one is baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And it's through Christ that we're bound together, saints, into a community of faith. Belonging to Christ, we belong to each other. And fellowship with Christ means fellowship with each other. You see, through Christ, God has made us family. So would you high five your neighbor right now and say, we are family. We are family. We are family. We are a community of faith. We are family. This is our God-given support system. As such, it is intended to meet some critical needs in all of our lives. Has anybody recently or ever experienced discouragement in your life? There's somebody beside me, all right. How about temptation? All right. How about sin in your life? How about apathy? Has anybody ever failed? I'm not the only one that has failed. What about struggling with materialism? Anybody here struggle with that? Anybody here got some unbelieving family members or some unbelieving friends? Oh, God, help us. Anybody ever have any doubts about yourself? Anybody ever been rejected by somebody? Does anybody here have any unanswered questions in your heart or in your mind? Saints, we face so many obstacles in our desire to live for the Lord. But praise your name, Lord Jesus. God has not left us on our own to try to run this race. God hasn't left us on our own to try to fight the battle. God has given us each other. Thank you, Lord. The church, this local body, this community of faith, we are essential to each other's spiritual well-being. In the New Testament, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. No Lone Ranger Christians. And you know, when I thought about the Lone Ranger, even the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. He always had Tonto riding beside him. Oh, yeah. Even the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. Believers, we need each other. We need each other. And God expects us to be there for each other. We need to be there for each other. God has ordained that we play a vital part in each other's faith. And for that reason, in Hebrews 10:25, we are commanded to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Saints, God has a purpose for putting us together. So would you just touch your neighbor next to you and say, neighbor, God has a purpose for putting us together. God has a purpose for putting us together. Amen. God has a purpose for putting us together. The community of faith, saints, is absolutely crucial to our spiritual well-being. And through it, God desires that we find strength for the journey, that we find a place to minister and to serve and to use the spiritual gifts God has given us, and that we find a never-ending source of guidance, love, and strength. How many have discovered that sometimes in our lives, truly, we have pain and we experience some sorrow? Jesus warned us about it. He said, in this world you're gonna have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome. So as we face these inevitable trials that all of us from time to time will go through, troubles and tragedies of life in this sin marred world in which we live in, God intends for us to be supported. Amen. God intends for us to be strengthened. God intends for us to be encouraged. Hallelujah. God intends for us to be empowered through the community of believers. So as we face the storms, we face the temptations of life, we should receive strength from each other. Such is God's plan. When one of us weeps, we all should be weeping. When one of us is rejoicing, One of us got a raise. Hallelujah. We all need to be praising God. Thank you, Lord. But it's during those difficult times when we're overwhelmed by trials and heartaches and burdens of life, we need to be strengthened and encouraged by our fellow brothers and sisters, our believers in Jesus Christ. And God has chosen, hallelujah, to come to us through God's people, through other Christians. We can sense and we can know God's love for us. We can know of God's care for us through the body of Christ. For when we're loved and cared for by another believer, then especially when we're going through trials, we can gain a new sense of, wow, God, your love is awesome. I can feel your care. I can feel it through my sister. I can feel it through my brother. I can feel your work at work in my life. I feel it, Lord, through them. That's why we cannot afford to stand alone. We cannot afford to try to go it on our own. We need each other. We need the community of faith. That is why, saints, we have life-sharing pioneers. That's why we have men who excel. That's why we have sisters in the Lord. That's why we come together to study and to worship and to pray. We need each other. And when the storms of life hit, we need to be standing close to other Christians. We need each other. We don't need to be standing alone. We sang today, together we stand strong in the Lord, facing our tomorrows. Lean on me. You see, the closer we stand in community, the more we're going to be able to hold up. How many have felt some days, I just can't hold up. I just can't hardly hold on. But the closer we stand in community to each other, the more we'll be able to hold up. Throughout our lives, saints, and especially during tough times, God desires to strengthen us and empower us through the community of believers, and God expects us to support each other during the storms of our life. That's why we need to be a part of the community of faith. I cannot tell you how many times I've said to people, we've missed you. Where you been? Oh, I was just going through a hard time, so I just stayed at home. I didn't come out to Sisters in the Lord. I was going through. I didn't come to church to worship and praise because I was going through a hard time. Saints, when you're going through a hard time, you especially need to be here because you need us, and we need you, and we can help you. We help each other through. Amen. We need each other. Now, saints, the community of faith is crucial to all of our spiritual well-being because it's the place where we also find a place to minister, to use the gifts. How many know right now you have at least one spiritual gift? If you've given your heart to Christ, you have at least one. Now, most of us have more than one, but you got at least one, and you need to use it. So this gives us an opportunity to find our place to use those gifts for God's glory and for the edification of the body. We are called to minister and to serve. We all have a God-given responsibility to reach out and to minister to one another and then to go forth and minister to the lost, to bring them to Jesus Christ. Love acts. Everybody say that with me. Love acts. Love serves God, and it serves one another, and it serves others. Amen. And being in the community of faith is, however, not without its difficulties and without its frustrations. Hallelujah. It can't be otherwise since it is made up of sinners. Amen. The mark of the community, true biblical community, is not the absence of conflict, not the absence of difficulties, but the presence of a reconciling spirit. In our humanness, we do all kinds of things, saints, to rub each other the wrong way. We do all kinds of things to offend others. We all at times will hurt, and we all at times will hurt others. Our old sinful nature often causes problems. Ooh. Nevertheless, we must not back away from the fellowship of faith. We must make an unwavering commitment to a community of believers where we can be strengthened, find our places of ministry and service, and receive much needed guidance. Now, saints, our plight is not unlike that of a group of porcupines. Now, this was a study that was done to a group of porcupines that were marooned. It was a bitter night in the middle of a large frozen field. There was no way for them to escape by burrowing into the ground, so they couldn't avoid the beating wind because it was just frozen. So as they huddled together to try to keep warm, their quills began to pinch each other and to hurt. So the closer they moved together, the more the pain increased. And some of the porcupines couldn't bear the pain. They drew apart to sleep alone. And in the morning, those who had gone apart had frozen to death. Saints, in our humanness, there are times when we hurt each other. And they have the tendency to pull away and try to go at it alone. But we got to resist. Touch your neighbor and say, resist that tendency. Resist. Resist it. Resist it. We were created for community. The journey of life and faith is often trying. It is often difficult. It is often painful. Discouragement, all kinds of doubt, all kinds of rejections, burdens, questions. It's a little wonder that God has given us the family of God and the fellowship of the believers, because we need each other so desperately. It is an absolute essential source of strength and guidance for our lives. Ephesians 2:19 reminds us that as a result of your relationship with Christ, you are no longer foreigners and aliens separated from God, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's in Christ we are a community of faith, saints. We're in a special place where we can minister and serve and be ministered to. We need each other. Therefore, the community of faith needs to be a priority. Everybody say priority. A priority in our lives. Acts 2:42 says that the early believers devoted themselves to fellowship, to the community of faith. So the pattern for the unity of believers is unlike anything else on earth. It's nothing less than the unity of the Trinity. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. And just as the Trinity is one, God is calling us to be one. Amen. So related in the household of God. We Christians are drawn to one another because we have a common center. Who is our common center? Jesus Christ is our common center. And Jesus prayed that they would be in us. For saints, that is the source of the power of unity, being in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's as if every one of us in the church were a piece of crystal. If you could imagine this, a beautiful chandelier. And at the top, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're just gleaming and just sparkling bright. And their sparkles are just reflecting off of each other. And then some of the sparkles are fracted down to us. And then we're able to pick up those beautiful lights. And we're able to let those lights shine from us to each other and shine from under us to draw others. Just a beautiful chandelier. As everyone catches a little fragment of that light from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reflecting it on one another and then reflecting it so the world may see and be drawn to Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, it's awesome. And that's the intent of Jesus Christ for his church. John 13:35 says, by this we'll all know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. How many know we live in a world of disunity? Oh, our families, our workplaces, in the local, state, federal government, everywhere we look in the world, is disunity all over the place. Only one single thing will compel the world to believe, and that is a supernatural oneness in the family of God. A oneness, a unity. So saints, this isn't a secondary issue for us today. This is a primary issue, and it's the last thing Jesus prayed about before his arrest. So it means that we each must act now to see that the church is one. You may ask, well, what? How? Where do we do it? The answer to that is inside the church and outside the church. Hallelujah. In the church, young and old, we each must act as a unifying personality, seeking common ground, seeking to be a unifier of the body. The blunt truth about any church is that there may be dozens of opinions about anyone or dozens of things that the church is trying to do, but every believer must make a decision, all of us, to be a unifier in the midst of God's people, or we can decide to give Satan a foothold and an opportunity to bring division. Now, saints, it's like this box of crayons. Now, did everybody get a crayon when you came in? All right. Crayons, they come in different colors. All right. They have different use. And we look at crayons, they all will go back in the box. Amen. So God uses us in different ways, and then we all come back. Well, as Christians, we may be different colors. We've got different experiences. We've got different worship styles. Some of us just love to run around the church. And others of us, we just like to quietly just raise our hands a little bit. Some of us, as we look at the crayons, are newer colors. There's some real pretty newer colors. But then there's some older colors, amen, that are beautiful. Some of us are more spiritually experienced than others, amen. Some of us are new in the faith. Now, if you look at the paper wrapper, now, some paper wrappers that have been used and really, the paper starts peeling off and it starts looking really, you know, kind of, you know, a little shaky there. But some believers, we've gone through a lot. So we've had some suffering and pain in our lives, and we've been at work a long time. So our wrapper don't look quite, you know, intact, you know. And then there's some where they're young in the faith. And the paper is still very much intact. You know, they've got a ways to go. Amen. Yet with all of the differences, all the crayons, whether the peeling is about off or down to the nub, we all go back into the box. And any can see that we're united. Amen. When we come back, we do our task as crayons, and then we come back. Saints, the need for this kind of unity is not only needed in the church, but it's needed outside of the church. Now, do you realize that every Sunday morning, all over our area, there are people right now who are at home. They're at home right now. You know why they're at home right now? Because on Monday morning, they have heard Christians come to the office, go to the school, get on the bus, talk at the laundromat, go down to the gas station, criticizing their church, criticizing, putting down other believers. Oh, you should have saw her. She looked so ridiculous prancing over there. And oh, he didn't make a bit of sense. He know he needed to sit himself down. We just put each other down. We're just talking to the world, saying, they make me sick. They're not this and they're not that. And listening to us, saints, has made them cynical. And it's made them deafen their ears to the gospel and good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been us that has done it. Saints, it is literally possible to commit spiritual murder outside the church, in the world, when we who ought to be one, we're going out there putting each other down, talking about each other, backbiting about each other, instead of presenting our church as one. We're criticizing the church, criticizing its program, criticizing its leadership. Jesus says, where to be one? In the church and outside the church. Be one. Be one by what you say. Be one about what you don't say. If every believer, we would guard our lips and we would say, I'm not going to speak anything except that which will build up and unify the body. And when we hear something that's just dividing the church and it's not right, just throw up the hand and say, let's just stop. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And then go like this. You need to be quiet. You need to shut your mouth right now. You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. I want you to touch your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, why not start now? Why now? Start now. Right now. Start right now. Right now. Saints, by loving one another, we can be an effective witness in the world. Jesus said that's how the world would know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to go out there and be a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed this prayer for us. Yes, that we would be protected. Yes, that we would be sanctified until he returns. But also that we would be sent just as he was sent. We have a mission. Touch your neighbor again. Say, neighbor, we have a mission. We have a mission. We have a mission. And only, saints, through the unity, only through love can we live out this mission. Truly, we've been commissioned. At this time, I want to extend to you an invitation as a symbol of a unifying factor, as a symbol of your unifying love and influence in the kingdom of God and in our church, Glenville New Life Community Church, and in the ministries that you're involved in, the activities you're involved in here and outside the church. I want you to take that crayon that you received when you came in. If you would be willing to come and place it in this empty box, I'm going to set it on the altar there. And as we come, thank you, Frank. And I have another one because I think it's too many of us for just one box. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. It symbolizes your commitment to be a unifying force within the body and for the body. As we come, we're going to be blessed as we hear the song, I Need You to Survive. And we will be blessed as Patricia Townsend dances before us. I want you to look at somebody right now and say, I need you. And you need me. We are a part of God's family. I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
For Pastor Rick.
And I'm Pastor Toby. Thank you for joining us today.
We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning. For those of you who may have an afternoon sporting event, we have an 8:30 service. That's over by 10. And for those of you who like to sleep in a little bit later, we have an 11:15 service. So whether you'd like to come at 8:30 or 11:15, we invite you to come and join us for a celebration of worship.
Amen. We're located at 711 East 105th Street, one block south of St. Clair.
We encourage you, if you've been blessed by this program, why not give us a call or send us an email to let us know it's been a blessing to you.
Amen. We're the Glenville New Life Community Church. Remember, we love and we care.